grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.10, Foreboding Boding, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Tranche.
Refers to a division or portion of a whole.
Tranche. Chapter 19. Harry and Elaine have an open conversation in which Harry recognizes the level of Elaine's trauma from their past. He opens up that he knows the man in the photo.
Looking at the man in the photo.
While she drinks a bottle of blood. Change his ways?
Friends. Yeah, change his ways. He's changed his ways. Oh, the MJ, no.
MJ is read by JM.
What?
What just happened here?
Well, I'll have to listen to that again later.
Witty repartee. Banter, if you will.
Michael Jackson has a song called The Man in the Mirror, and we were just saying the lyrics back and forth.
Yeah, I would have thought you got that one, Jen.
Wakey, wakey.
So she called him MJ, because that's what people sometimes call Michael Jackson, and James Marshall reads the book, so I was like, MJ as read by JM.
Not just a mirror reference.
Not just a mirror reference. It works all.
Gotcha.
Yeah, coming full circle. Tying that all together for you.
So Harry suggests they all stay together.
Okay, this is exactly what you were talking about last time, though, about Elaine having a short fucking fuse and being fucking psycho. Because she's honestly just embarrassing her temper as she goes back and forth. There's a couple of chapters here from now until, I don't know, the next three or four. And yeah, she's just a little bit of a short fuse, crazy person. Which, to be fair, is also just, you know, when Harry does it, it's like, oh yeah, Harry's angry and mad and we like him. And when, you know, Elaine or a woman does it, it's like, ah, fucking crazy bitch. But still, Elaine's a fucking crazy bitch.
Again, I don't think her temper is that particularly spiky in the next...
When Priscilla's like, is that a threat?
That
and Elaine's like, it's a fact, bitch. It's like, okay, relax, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but that's not... I think the events over the next couple is...
Okay, I'll point them out when we get to them.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like there was an appropriate amount of temper there, but hey, you're right. I might feel the same way when we get back to it. Maybe I'm just in the moment. I just don't remember feeling like she was... But yes, other than this part where she's like, Harry, be nice. Shut the fuck up, bitch!
Well...
It's like, you're paying
Priscilla,
me, I can...
Priscilla is kind of an annoying little snot, though, so...
Oh, she is. I don't blame her. I'm not saying it's not called for. I was just pointing out in the last one that it was just funny. Yeah, when Harry gets, like, a little bit snarky, because even Harry wasn't, like, calling her names yet or anything like that. Harry was just kind of being, like, sarcastic or whatever with her. And Elaine's like, Harry, you know, they're scared. Cut them some slack. Be nice. And then she's like, you haven't caught anybody yet. She's like, shut the fuck up, bitch. We're doing our best. And you don't pay me enough to be fucking nice to you. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah, see, I think Elaine's insecure because she sucks at her job.
It's fair. But I just meant that was more of an obvious sort of spike and a turnaround, it seemed.
Any insult for Elaine, I want to hear.
Whereas some of the scenarios of the next little bit, I feel like she puts in the appropriate amount of anger and aggression.
You are wrong.
We will see.
Been more wrong in your life.
Really? I shall remind you of that.
You will it.
I wasn't wrong then.
You will top it. The conversation Harry and Elaine have in the car is a little bit more expanding on the last book about what psychic damage can do to a person. And, you know, Elaine's talking about, oh, in the intervening years, I was filled with nightmares and paranoid. And I've essentially been afraid of everything possible. And I've had every sort of reaction. And it's a little bit more of just, this is probably what Rosie and Nelson are living right now. Thanks, Molly.
Right? And we already saw what Murphy
had to go through from her, like, all sorts of complex PTSD going on.
Yeah, exactly.
On.
And Murphy got it, not necessarily a weak version, but a fast version, you know? He wasn't working against Murphy.
Well, and she had it more than once for, like, different things, too.
That's true. Lots of things have tried to attack her now, but... Yeah, my point is that Rosie and Nelson were, like, kind of over a long time period while Molly kept going in there. And Elaine's definitely was. We don't know exactly when Justin started, but I'm sure it was more or less day one. It was all in purpose of that.
I don't know necessarily that it was the mind magic, because otherwise, like you say, you'd think Harry or whatever would have
turned. Yeah, but you can fear it anyway.
I was going to say, yeah, I think it was, like, the other manipulation. Yeah.
It was
and
just abusive on top of that.
It was just abusive, yeah. I'm not sure that, yeah, like you say, the thrall bit of it. Was more that kick at the end. However, not to say like you say that all that wouldn't have had the same, but.
Harry skips over a lot of that. He'll say in a few chapters too, he's like, oh, you know, Justin used to beat us and he was pretty whatever, but you know, it works. We're pretty strong for it. We can get over ourselves quickly.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he never actually alludes to, you know, Justin being abusive outside of like right at the end there when he tried to turn us into thralls. He's always like, it's just, you don't understand how nice it was to have a dad in a home.
yeah.
Damn, Harry, you're so traumatized. You're like, everything else was worth it.
I have a question. And this is going back to a little bit about how the vampires do thrallship. What's the type that doesn't recover? Because we've got Renfields and then...
I think the Renfields are the ones that don't recover.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are pretty much...
Those are the ones that have basically been stripped of all their humanity. They're
if they're
just
not a Renfield
walking
anymore,
puppet.
They're completely...
Otherwise, they're just
and,
thrall,
and then
the,
and then there's
is,
a, just a regular thrall, which you can recover
just kind of
from.
Manipulate and yeah.
And the reason why I asked this is kind of a little bit like if the technique was the same that Justin used to make a thrall.
Well, not the approach, but possibly the after effects. Because, like, Justine, for example, Justine basically has her own thoughts and control. Well, not right now, she's a vegetable, but pre-whatever, Justine had her own thoughts and, like, control, but she was addicted to Thomas, right? So, in that sense, there was still that level of control over her. So, anyone else who has got a, you know, vampire feeder or whatever that they're addicted to.
Well, even, like, this conversation here with Elaine, that's what she says. Harry's like, no, it's fine. He's not using me. And she's like, that's what everybody who's used says, yeah. Right? Because they've got... So, I mean, it is very much in that whole sense I would take of somebody with an addiction or an abusive partner or something like that, where I can quit anytime I want, you know, I don't have to drink, I just like to, or, you know, really he loves me, he's not, you know, where you make up all kinds of excuses and you feel compelled to so sort of enthrall that way that they want their fix, they like what they're, I mean, again, especially in the case of the race, less so... You would think the Mulvoras and the Skavis because fear and pain. Yes, some people are addicted to that, but usually that's not a go-to for, right? Whereas, especially with
they have clubs for that.
They have clubs for that. But, you know, but exactly with the sexual pleasure and all that kind of stuff, of course, it's going to be real easy to get people wanting to come back for more of that. And so, yeah, basically that's what she says. So there's a little bit of that. Yes, you've got some control, but also depending how far into it you get, and I'm assuming...
Yeah, but even the Red Court and the Black Court had their own ways of enthralling people.
Yeah. Theirs is more... Yeah, but that's all... Well, just you saying sort of Justine had her own mind
well, yeah,
and stuff
I'm
like
just
that.
Trying to
like
say...
They do, but also Thomas wasn't trying to mindlessly enslave her either. But yes.
But yeah, I think the difference is, though, is whatever the demon feeding that's happening from the White Court or the otherwise just general feeding that's happening from the Red and Black Court, either way, it is, you know, it might all be more or less the same end results, but Justin's magical precision thing is a whole nother version of that, you know, like the 12 different kinds of werewolves is.
Right.
There's so many options to enthrall someone, guys.
Well, yeah, and like we said here within this universe, right, like the Red Court vamps have that narcotic saliva, so it's still, you don't really be like, oh, someone's feeding off me, but there's an addictive drug quality.
Ew, why
that,
did you lick me?
Yeah, it's
oh,
like the
you licked me.
Poison toad
that's
thing or whatever, right?
Almost a direct quote from Harry Dresden.
Whereas, yeah, the blacks have whatever their scary, creepy mind magic enslavement.
Well, if it's,
thing,
yeah, if
know.
It's going off of Dracula, it was basically just like, yeah, he just come and like stroke your face, and he's like, "I'm in love with you," and they'd be like, "Oh my god, that makes sense. Let's be together forever." It's like you and your dentist.
For the record, he's in love with me. I'm not in love with him. You missed that part of the story before we recorded. Moving on.
So Harry doesn't want to tell Elaine that Thomas is his brother, which I 100% support outside of whoever Elaine is. First of all, just like you can't be having that secret out, right?
Splashed everywhere and yeah.
As far as I know right now, the only person who does know is Murphy and potentially Michael.
Does Murphy know, I guess?
Murphy does. Because remember the whole thing in book five, because she was going to her family reunion picnic, and he's like, I just found, and she's like, oh, okay, you've got family. This is like family issues. Okay. I thought you didn't have any family. So yes, Murphy 100% knows that he's half-brother.
Not sure it's ever come up with Michael other than the fact that he just does tell
Michael
he
hasn't really seen him
but...
in a couple of years anyway.
Well, yeah, so they went to rescue Molly, but again, I don't think he got that far. He said, again, to Cherry,
there was a vampire here.
He's an ally. Yeah, but again, I don't think they revealed thus far that there was an actual connection there.
So Murphy's the only one that knows. And as far as we know, so I understand why you wouldn't be spreading that secret around, but still, I also just feel like, yeah, exactly, Elaine. He doesn't even trust you, so fucking go away. Get out of our town.
Well, it is kind of interesting, this whole thing, because he still goes back to her and he's like, so I found out you threw your tests. And he's like, come on, you got to go to them. Like, you got to be honest and I'll go with you. And she's like, fuck that. Like, no. And I feel some things there where she's like, I not having that. Like, first of all, she makes a real good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smart.
Let me jump in the middle of a war.
Yeah, literally, though. Actually, that's like the best
bet. Right? Like, yeah. They find out I can do more than they are absolutely going to recruit me and throw me the fuck into this thing. No, thank you.
But Harry's already drank so much of the Kool-Aid that he, like his first instinct is to try to recruit her again.
Which is funny because he still is so anti-Kool-Aid as well.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing, man?
He's right on this flip-flop, though. Because even Molly, right? He's like, yeah, they fucking suck, but they're still your best bet. And to be fair, Molly, she's still young. She's still untrained. She is better off protected by the White Court. Or
Council.
By the White Council, rather than
probably the White Court, but yeah.
Elaine, who is, as we've been told, we haven't really seen, is apparently strong enough to, survive without them. And has made her own allies over the years, especially with the summer court and that. But, you know, unlike Molly, she's got more options. And
And again, she had a bit of
resourceful.
Yeah, like, she's not 18 anymore, first of all. And exactly, she had those couple of hard years between, 16 and 20, whatever kind of thing, where she had to grow up eighth through Justin anyways. Like you say, a lot of his training was brutal enough to give you that, plus then, being on the run and being on the fairies and like, I gotta figure this shit out. So, yes, Molly has the quote-unquote luxury that while she's been through some shit, she doesn't have to be, he's like, go back home where you are a little bit safe and protected and taken care of, and you don't have to take on the entire world, but on yourself,
It doesn't ever go into detail exactly about what Elaine did.
Yeah,
but
obviously, right, we know it was 16 when shit went
down. Well, yeah, but that's what I mean, like, just directly after. We know she ran to the fairies, but was that, day two, or...
Yeah, exactly, like, that's what I mean.
Even hanging out with the fairies can't be all that...
I was gonna say, that's not exactly a safe home, welcoming environment either. I'm sure she got fucked
summer,
up there, too.
Like,
well, I was gonna say, you have to be, on
wily.
The ball, wily enough to, not to get... Oh, because, again... She was in debt to the fairies, but things could have been a heck of a... Fuck, even Harry was almost worse with his bargains. He wasn't actually fucking living with them. Elaine did all right that way. She knew enough to know not to get herself to, but all of that. But as they're going through, and then again, the same thing, she comes right back at the end, and she's like, they're going to be more pissed off now. Quit telling me, I'm not going to go. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. They'd probably be just more mad that you... but again, Harry's like, go, go, go. But at the same time, no, you're right. It's not safe. Don't go. It's very, and I feel for him. And I think this is a lot of authority figure areas. Anytime you've got a committee or a board or a government or, right, it's that pros and cons. They do a lot of good for you, but then there's also a lot you no longer have. Say again, like,
it's the same of being a part of any large organization.
It is, that's what
I'm saying. We love Canada, but at the same time, I could bitch about everything every day.
It's the same thing, right? And again, like, something else I'm reading right now, some about 1924, and it's, police and stuff like that, right? And it's like, again, talking about like corruption and bribery and stuff like that on the, and the one character is like, well, like, obviously. You have to, he's like, it's foolish to think that there isn't any of that. And just because the one higher up, like the police commissioner, is like, no, the force is perfect. And he's like, that's just fucked up and it's not doing anybody any favors because it's not, but at the same time, he's like, but we, like, again, the public has given us the right to ask impertinent questions and look into things that are uncomfortable and possibly deprive people of their liberty. And in return, you know, we're supposed to do the best we can at returning that protection and that whatever, and not being dickheads and abusing our power and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, it's anywhere and everywhere and all the time, right? And going back, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely all of that, right? But yeah, it's just funny in this regard, just how much Harry fights for it when, again, even in his own thing, even in so much, Harry never for a minute stopped fighting against the injustices that he doesn't like about.
I mean, that's kind of a good thing, right? If all good cops quit, then it's only bad cops left, right? Like, you need the ones who are going to be in the organization and fight, right? So Harry being in there asking questions and constantly, you know, not just immediately being pro-counsel and not just immediately being anti-counsel, having that nuance to say this is good
so
and this
checks
is bad.
And balances.
That is exactly, funny, because right? Again, in that same book, the other character he's talking to basically says the same thing, and he's like, yes, but if enough people stand up to stupid laws that don't make sense, that's the only way they're going to change.
Yeah.
Yes, we have, because, you know, he's like, you made a fair point that you're like, there's a lot less policemen than there are citizens.
Yeah.
So if we don't want to comply, then yeah, so it's a problem if everybody right. just decides, let's start murdering everybody.
I think especially for the Elaine situation, it is so complicated. I mean, it's lies upon lies upon lies for Elaine's existence that, yes, going to the council who are suspicious and awful when they're not in the middle of a war, it would not be so cold cut. Molly's, you know, as bad as it was a little bit more cold cut what they deal with every single day.
Yeah.
The Elaine situation is a little bit more like, okay, so Harry's been lying to us for 20-something years. Elaine fucking threw these tests. You both just been running around knowing this.
Well, and that's the thing, right? And, I mean, even a lot of that, like, it's interesting.
And there's no law that you have to join the White Council, right? It's just the thing to do. It's just what you do. You have enough talent, you join the White Council. And then,
and I think, you know, we touched on some of that in the last episode or two, where there's just a certain amount of, like, prestige or what, like, yeah, why wouldn't you if you're strong
exactly.
enough?
But I'm just saying, yeah. I don't think it's, you know, Elaine's not breaking any, you know, magical code of laws to not join them. It would just be that they'd be angry that they didn't know about her.
Unpatriotic in a way or yeah. something like that by not giving her all, by
and just
not
suspicious,
choosing
you know,
to,
like, yeah. why would you throw the test and, well, not
and
tell us who you are?
And that was the point I was just going to make. Like, it's interesting in so much of this how we never learn a lot of, or have not up until now, right, learned a lot of the details of DeMorne and all that. So, again, everybody thought he was hunky-dory. He was a warden, well-respected, powerful. Nobody knew he snuck fucking Bob out of Kemmler's and had access to all that knowledge and power.
He was so unchecked. Nobody knew he adopted two kids.
Nobody knew he adopted yeah. two kids and was training them outside of the laws of magic that, as a warden, he was sworn to uphold and protect. And you know what I mean? So, and then basically everyone was like, well, you just killed your mentor. And you know, like, it's interesting. It's like, well, how did y'all figure out? Because now everybody seems to realize and recognize that DeMorne was...
Well,
was,
no, that's what we discussed this 1, 2, 3 books ago, is that even to this day, there seems to be this sort of taboo subject. Nobody says whether or not DeMorne was or wasn't evil.
Yeah, so does the council ever find out exactly, right? So yeah, Harry and Elaine know, but he says, I think what we do know, because she says, you know, the whatever of coming out from under the shadow of DeMorne. So again, if Harry says...
Implication.
Yeah, that's not, but whatever it is. And how much harder that could make, they're like, if they find out that DeMorne had another apprentice that's been running around unchecked. So obviously, there is questions thrown. And again, who knows? Maybe after Harry burned the house down and the wardens came to check things out and were poking through the rubble and they found his, you know, master plan to take over the world, they went, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's... But there is somewhere where I don't... Somewhere stated somewhere that I don't think the council, or at least not as a whole, think anymore that DeMorne was squeaky clean, and he is now known to have been crossing some lines.
No, there's some implication.
Yeah.
By Harry not having been executed, that there was room for doubt. That, okay, well, somebody did call up a demon. If Harry wasn't strong enough to do it, who was? Or if Harry was strong enough, who taught him? Or if Harry...
Yeah, we
still don't know exactly the specifics of how that trial went down.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is we don't... It's interesting,
but yes, but
because
even to this day, with Morgan following him around and watching him, is like, that's obviously implication that he wasn't fully... You know, it wasn't 100%, oh, we think you're innocent, all right? Like, that's all I'm saying, is that to this day, we still don't know who exactly is on DuMorne's side and who exactly is against DuMorne and how much they do and do not believe that he was involved in.
Yeah.
And I think literally the only way for Elaine to ever become in the council's sight somebody to just look into DuMorne's past. And if nobody ever does that, there's no reason for Elaine to ever come forward.
No. And again, you would think since Harry was caught and tried, that there would have been some kind of investigation in around Dumorne's life at the time. Like, they got a burned down house.
We caught the culprit red-handed. Story's over.
Yeah, maybe, right? But, you know, like, yeah, exactly. You think it's slightly odd that...
Occam razor. That's all they need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Signed confession. Harry was already throwing himself on his sword. I'm going to die anyways. There's no point in me telling them about Elaine.
Well, I mean, but, that's the thing. It's just, very, like, right away from day one. Like, even when Harry didn't know who the fuck the White Council was, because Dumorne didn't tell him this existed or anything.
Yeah.
Harry's first, you know, introduction to them was essentially his trial, you know?
Yeah, that absolutely was, yeah. That was his whole point. He's like, I didn't fucking know. And they're like, doesn't matter, you're dead. Yeah.
But for him to still keep his head and keep Elaine secret. And again, he thinks she was dead, so why bring her up? But that's actually more to the reason why wouldn't you bring it up then? Like, he killed me, or he killed my adopted sister.
Yeah.
And tried to kill me. And the fact that he was like, ah, irrelevant.
Yeah, there's other, but yeah, yeah.
Okay, whatever.
No, I know. There's all kinds.
Not even like, oh, go find her body so we can have a funeral. He's just like, cremation.
I'm not going to say nothing. They'll just think I burned her too. And
maybe. No, seriously.
Which honestly is what
then
Harry
get me
thought.
For that.
Yeah, but that is what Harry thought. Harry always thought that.
Yeah, he burned her down.
She was, just still caught in it and couldn't escape. And that, yeah, maybe she was.
But that's why, you know, under his... you have this crying little boy, like, try and save her or something. But whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Okay, this chapter wraps up with the whole, you know, questioning Thomas again. And believe me, if he was hurting these girls, he would want me.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I like that. It's true.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 20. Harry and Elaine make their way to Burnham Harbor, using a tracking spell to find Thomas. Not only do they find Thomas, but several missing women in his custody, just in time to be ambushed by a small army of ghouls.
Oh, that Thomas. Hanging out on his yacht with a bunch of women.
Oh, that Thomas.
Two things here.
Only two?
First thing. Something very special happened when I was reading this chapter.
Ew, I'm your mother.
I remembered the plot of this book. Right to the end, I finally know what all happened.
Woo! And it only took 20 chapters.
Yeah.
Well, like halfway through. There's, 43 chapters?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I was...
That was better than you at least remember it.
Yeah. I Here's the thing. Technically, I never
eight
forgot.
Books and I still remember shit.
I never 43 forgot. Chapters. I didn't know it was in this book.
Yes, obviously.
But yes. And then second of all, it took me... I mean, before we started this podcast, but still several rereads in.
Way back.
I don't
back
remember.
Back in time.
I cannot remember that far back.
I didn't know. Like, I didn't get the joke about the water beetle. Like, the name just being like, okay, because Harry's is the beetle, so this is the water beetle. I was just like, all right, boats need a name. Water beetles are a bug in water. All right, Thomas named his boat. And I think it was, like, something online that was like, oh, yeah, and, like, Thomas referencing his brother's car for the boat. And I was like, oh, water beat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
Ding.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The sound of the light bulb.
I just read it. I was just like, okay, yeah, it's called the water beetle. Let's move on with our lives.
Remember, Jessica's the one that touts herself as the smart one.
I know, which is why it's so sad for you guys. I don't know how you make it around, but...
I don't know. I understood water beetle.
I understand the words, too. I know exactly what the picture. I've seen
I got the reference, the connection between the blue beetle and the water beetle.
I'm just like, but, you know, now I can think, oh, Thomas loves his brother. Ha, ha, ha.
I wasn't sure before, but now I get the boat, so obviously it must be. You don't put anything down in writing if you don't mean it.
Exactly.
You'd have fucking smash a bottle and everything. That's permanent, man.
Okay, right back to this bullshit about... I could tell Elaine was curious about how I managed to track my brother. I'm like, did you not have to, like, pull your pentacle out or something like that? Like, oh, she doesn't know
the focus.
That Thomas's object
is
or something.
What is, yeah, he didn't pull out a little clump of hair or toenail clippings.
I know, but I'm just, it's so confusing me.
He just seems like he's sort of magically...
He just knows.
He just magically knows where to go. Yeah. Yes, he pulls out his pentacle, and it points around like a compass needle, sort of, and leans, go this way.
It's like, how are you making that spell work?
That is exactly, yes. She doesn't ask.
Because she knows, like, the mechanics Harry, of how most of his spells work already.
That,
so.
Too, and just magic in general and her stuff, and exactly. Normally, and as we've seen, any other time Harry has done.
Why does Elaine have a pentacle?
Because it's a magic
symbol. It's annoying.
Well, it's a magic symbol, right? Yes, that's why. It's, yes, not. Harry just
not because she's a copycat for everything.
Right. So we've seen every other time that Harry has to have a focus. So, like, when he went to search out Lydia, he used the talisman that he made that he'd given her, right? When he went to look for Molly, he's, like, using Molly's hair or Charity's blood.
Which is why I don't understand how he used to find his keys. If he lost the keys, did he always just keep one key off the key ring in his backpack for when he lost his keys?
Like a little chip off of it that he puts in an envelope. When I've lost my keys.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe it was the Aegis, the connection to, like,
I just
his
knew what my keys,
keys
like.
But, yeah, after the first goes, exactly, it could have just been some... I mean, that, though, if you know you're going to lose something, much like a tracker, I suppose you could sort of embed something into it. He could have put the spell on the key.
Like so that air, when the,
like an air tag. Yeah, so that when it was... It's a little bit harder, yes, for if you don't know that something's going to... Although, now that Harry's tagged the entire city of Chicago, he might as well just tag every person in it.
Just a free high-five booth.
Yeah, right.
Just walks up behind people, taking little snips of their hair. Yoink.
Such a creep.
As we've seen in other books, he just has to, like, you know, swipe. He just has to go around, like, wiping his hands on people.
Forget other books. Just watch fucking TikToks these days. People just walk up and do everything to people for prank videos.
Yeah, there's that, too.
And everyone just watches and lets them do it. It's always so bizarre. I'm just like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
You do whatever
it
you want.
It doesn't matter if it doesn't work or not, right? He just has to walk around with, like, a phone and be like, ha-ha!
Just
you
like,
know?
Fuck with somebody for no reason and then point in the middle distance and be like, look, there's a camera, hot, walk away. Oh, they should hire me for just laughs. I'm just so good at it.
Picked all your pockets and... No, it's okay, though. There's a camera.
I don't know. If America doesn't have Just for Laughs on their TV, it's a show that happens in Montreal where everyone speaks French, which is not a real language. So it's like, so they cut the audio, so the whole thing is just silent. And it's just people running around terrorizing the people of Montreal in very funny pranks. Harry being afraid of boats, though.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's not like we've ever come across him on...
Well, yeah, Deidre almost killed him on a boat with Valmont and the church mice. But I just think,
he's like
that was
bad things.
Boat experience
that was, but it's not
I mean,
like he's had a few. I mean, again, it's like Critical Role making fun of, like, doors. I'm like, I understand why that's a thing. This is my
point, though, too, is he should be afraid of the police station. He should be afraid of St. Mary's. He should be afraid of that random stop sign by his house.
But this is the greatest way to make an Indiana Jones reference. Why's it gotta be a boat?
It's
why is it always snakes?
Yes, it's just funny because just the way he is kind of makes it sound like even if he was doing it like an overly exaggerated way, like exactly like you know the way like one of us would be like, oh my god, what? And it's like you've been on a boat once and you're like,
it's bad.
But it's the way he says it though. It's just exactly. It feels like there have been so many other boat incidents. And I was like, not that you've shared with us, not that you even referenced in the past that happened. This is again
he had to go looking for that lost treasure in the lake once.
And apparently he found it. He found the guy's, like, coin collection. So that didn't say it was a bad trip or anything. It's just, I just found it oddly funny the way he's like, nothing good ever happens to me on boats.
I'm
like,
this
well, then you
I
should share more of these stories because we're not aware of all these
Harry
bad things.
Harry Dresden being able to know the future. Because boats are going to be bad for your future. This dock is going to be bad for your future.
I just thought it was
That's
a pop culture reference that he made.
It might be Indiana Jones. I don't watch Indiana Jones, so I wouldn't know that.
Well, there's this, he's a snake. Why does it always have to be snakes?
It sounds like.
And it was like, read that. It was like, this is the Indiana Jones reference, but he's just changing it from snakes to boats.
Obviously that is. But aside from just that, he does, like I say, he does go on before that, after that comment or whatever, to be like, nothing good has ever happened to me on a boat kind of a thing. Which, again, sounds like he's insinuating that there have been multiple. We're just not aware of any of these other. They're not even like vague references anywhere. So it's just kind of like, you can't reference
well,
something
it goes on to say
common
it's the lake in general, which is like, you know, Leah at the showing up.
Wow, last time it was Mab.
Or Mab, yeah. Woo!
When you want Liz, how bad is your life when you want Leah and you get Mab?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I called it the Secretary of Evil and I got the fucking Queen. Like, that is worse, absolutely. Elaine, you suck, and I don't like you. Your magic nunchuck chains is pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
pretty fucking cool.
Is it just a chain? Or just at first, it sounded like it was nunchucks.
It's not nunchucks.
But then I was like, when
she
uses them like nunchucks.
She uses them like, yes, but it is, yes, just.
It is pretty cool, though. Harness the power of thunder in your,
right.
in your chain.
That's pretty fucking cool.
I don't need a big stick.
Chain, chain, chain.
So yes, water, and also, you know, now understanding the water beetle, I get why Harry recognized it as the right boat.
Whoa!
It's not just intuition. I'm just like, that's gotta be it. Okay, sure.
Tee-hee-hee-hee. Good thing she's pretty, folks.
Thomas, it's Harry Dresden, blah, blah, blah. You're such a, this is, I feel exactly how it went with the Annabelle Mott situation, too, where he's just like, only thing to do is board the boat.
Very much.
Go deal with whatever happens. Like, yeah, you're okay.
I do like, this is a cute exchange. Though, as they're going. So first of all, he's like, okay, let's not all bunch up and be like a perfect target together. And she's like, ooh, smart. And then where, yeah, their little buddy cop reports, that is actually kind of a cute moment.
The 80s retirement cop thing, cliche.
I'm about to retire in about 2.5 seconds. Don't do anything. Oh my God. Oh no, please don't. Wow, you're so wacky. Yeah, exactly. She does it very well. It's a very fun moment.
As about the last time they were able to watch movies.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right.
But he can't. That is a good
Harry
you know,
goes to the drive-in.
Familiarity.
Well, that too.
Yeah, I did like that she compliments his shield because it does. It's another indication that he is continually leveling up.
Yeah, it is kind of. And again, she did see him in book four and stuff like that. But exactly, like these things from like, oh yeah, when we were a kid and learning to do this to how advanced and finessed and experienced we are now. You know, 15 years later or whatever, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it is nice little. Point to that way again, like, oh, I noticed, you know, it's like, oh, you cut your hair, you know, like,
well, especially because there have been references thus far of being like, oh, she did that thing she always does, oh, the spell is exactly like it always was, oh, I like, you know, those mannerisms that have not faded over the years.
Yeah, well, like his flickumbicus, I'm like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But yeah, maybe you can do it faster, maybe you can do it 20 times at once instead of once, but it's the same, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Those things that are.
I gotta say, I really liked that moment of when he actually does go on the boat and then there's like the snafu of getting kicked down the stairs and he's like, bullshit, it's not my brother.
Yeah, he would never show up with a girl.
Makes me fucking laugh so hard. And just Harry immediately being like, what the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah,
it's like, just how offended he is. The way James Marsden reads it in the audiobook, it's so funny. He's like, what the hell?
So you weren't my brother. I pieced you.
All the way to him getting Thomas getting electrocuted with a chain.
Yeah.
The real Harry Dresden would never show up with a girl that beautiful.
So it is different. It is exactly like you say, like the last time, of letting Anna Valmont get the drop on him. He goes in again and again, totally gets the drop on him. Gets dropped on. Literally, figuratively, like all of that. So, I mean, in some ways, I guess, yeah, it's a little bit different. Usually people aren't hiding like above the doorway when you walk into a room. So, yeah, on a boat, you've got the...
Cheater.
Yeah, but it is. It's just sort of funny where, again, I'm like...
It's a ninja movie.
But on the flip side is he's not expecting to go in to an Anna Valmont moment. He's expecting to go be like, hey, Thomas, I'm here. And Thomas is being like, yo, Harry, what the... Right? He's not expecting to get ambushed by him either. So it's kind of there in that sense where I was like, okay, yeah, you weren't trying to protect against that kind of but yes, absolutely. No way you're the real Harry Dresden.
So
and then just
funny.
Immediately how the fight, the defensive, the protection. What the fuck does that mean?
So good.
So good.
Thomas, then, I'd like to introduce you to my sister.
And my first lover.
I know, yeah.
But this is the other...
To be fair, basically the same for Thomas.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And that family, yeah, you're probably... Yeah. But, whatever, say what you want about Elaine, though, she does hold up her end of the bargain, is she sneaks in and gets the drop on, while they're busy arguing about that, Thomas, who specifically made a point of not believing your Harry, because you brought somewhere else, completely forgets about the someone else, and lets her come up and taser him. Big taser! She charges this thing in lightning storms. It's not your... Yeah. And then they're all like... Yeah.
Well, even the fact that it just that moment of, now, what the hell is that supposed to mean? And Thomas is like, wait, Harry?
Actually, is you? Yeah.
And the whole thing is,
you weren't my brother. And then he's like, oh, fuck. Because again, nobody else knows that. So hard for somebody impersonating him to drop that fact. Thank God. But yes, yeah. It is just, oh, shit, it actually is you. Like, oh.
And then again, this like back and forth where Elaine's being a fucking bitch about it. Harry's all, I trust this guy. We can trust him. We're going to go to his boat and we're going to figure this out. And then she's all like, he's a vampire. You can't trust him, blah, blah, blah. And Thomas is all being like, it's okay, Harry. It's fine. I understand. You guys can come out now. Fucking stupid bitch, Elaine. But that's when Harry should pull his Elaine stunt and turn on her and be like, you motherfucking bitch, say one more word about my brother.
But this is the thing, though. And again, for very good reason that Harry's not, but his biggest ace in the hole to get people to trust him is the one thing he doesn't want to spread about. Okay, fair, right? You can't. How do you know that? I know for a fact he didn't steal the painting because I did, but, you know, I can't exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to. I know. Yeah. So, but we've seen this before and we will see it again with council people, ironically enough, Elaine, who's like, I don't want shit to do with the council, all those men telling me what to do, of them dumping to all the, you know, just that black and white, you know, vampires are bad guys, none of them are worth any time, if you manage to have, like, a moment in which they can prove useful to you, but you fuck them after that, exactly, like, you know what I mean, where, again, they're just, like, but this hate and racism on the magical evil spectrum, right? So I kind of can't believe, like, we've seen that
especially
from other characters.
Especially from Elaine's perspective, I could be afraid of anything that can do mind magic so easily. And
well,
that
too is exactly right. We know she's particularly
white
triggered,
court and fairies would be the number one thing I'd avoid. I'd be so afraid constantly.
Yeah, and exactly right. So in some ways, I agree with you. Like, in some ways, I know reading it, and it was like, ah, oh, you're being so. But if you try and be a bit more objective about it, it's like,
nah.
Honestly, I kind of can't blame her taking this hard line on it, because that's the whole point. As soon as you let the monsters get a toehold, I'm not abusing you that much. I'm just doing it for, I'm looking after, you know, I'm taking over your entire life because you can't run it right. I'm just helping you do that. And really? Maybe that's not such a good thing.
Symbiotic relationship, okay?
Yes, that's what the symbiote wants you to believe.
The parasite
wants you to believe it's a symbiotic relationship, but sometimes it's just a parasite, and that's that's the difference, right? Sometimes your partner, exactly, like, you're better at that, making sure the bills are paid on time, and I'm better at doing the, you know, remembering when all the activities are. Great. That's how you set it up. If that person is like, I'm going to take over your finances, and I'm going to tell you when you can go to the grocery store, and I'm going to tell you what friend you can, all of a sudden that's not so good. That's not looking out for you and helping you organize your life. That's maybe becoming abusive and isolating you. And
it's not a good trebuchet to dig.
That's right. That is
that's
completely
not the
wrong word.
I appreciate the effort.
Tranchet.
Yes. Trebuchet is like a catapult.
I was like trying to remember it specifically too. I'm like,
very close. It was a T French word and started T and the A. Yes.
Tabernacle.
Valiant effort, but right. She's got. She's tried to ask Harry a couple of times now. She's tried to ask him a couple of times now, and he just won't tell her why he trusts this guy. I just do. If you can't give me a reason, I'm starting to feel like there isn't a reason.
Well, and all fairness, from her perspective, the last evidence that she has is a picture of the guy that's kidnapped the person that's missing. So,
speaking of
that's
which,
evidence, not just hearsay.
That's yes, not just so. This is the first cute guy we've come across in this book, so he must be the one stealing everybody because there's some cute guy. Yeah, exactly. So, yes.
Sorry, Harry.
While Thomas is still, I mean, it's funny. You joke about it, and it's funny in your retelling, but, you know, I don't think Thomas was quite like, it's okay. Right, but yeah,
he actually was. That's a direct okay.
He isn't. Yeah, because he's still like half electrocuted or whatever. But again, same thing as we saw with Charity, where he's kind of like, hey, man, her car, her rules.
Like, I know, that's the thing, though. It's like, that's Thomas constantly cutting himself off because, like, I understand how people perceive vampires. I understand the rumors and reputation, whatever, that I have. So
yes.
Harry's always trying to protect him, and Thomas is always like, no, man, like, come on. Like,
I get it. Yeah, it sucks, but I get why I'm being loved in with.
That's why, like, it's sad, because it's like, oh, Thomas is trying, okay?
But yes.
Laura just has the perfect smear campaign.
although this always has sat with me slightly. Like, I just feel like it's almost too easy. Like, if I was those girls and a couple of people come on board and the guy that has spirited me away to help me, starts attacking this guy that has come looking for them, and then all of a sudden, the guy that's protecting you and attacked the other guy gets attacked by the other guy that came with the guy he's protecting you from. I would just be like, okay, come out now. I'd be like, ha! I'd be like,
I agree. That's weird as fuck.
The way he's just like, it's okay, you can come out, and everyone was just like, oh, thank God, it's so like cramped waiting, in there.
Yeah. I'm like, I agree that's stupid. The only thing, though, about this whole combobulated mess is that they know they're dealing with magic, so yeah, let me just go figure out whose face that is would be a real concern of being like, okay, never mind, guys. I vetted them. We're good.
I guess that is part of it, but yes, it is just, yeah.
Like, these people are in the know, at least, so it's like,
And in all fairness, Olivia is one person that, right? Yeah, she was at the apartment when Harry and Elaine. So for that's kind of the only saving grace is that exactly Olivia could be like, oh, that's the girl we hired to help us. And then that's the other guy that's looking into it. But yeah, it's just other than that, right? It's just the fact that even still a little bit, I would be like,
I agree. It's weird that they immediately kick out the false wall. We're here.
Even if they convinced you to go with Thomas, but you're like, well, you didn't. Like, you're obviously not working with Elaine and Harry either, so the fact that I agreed to go with you to get spirited away, but yeah, just the whole, anyways. But regardless whether it's good, bad, makes sense or not, they all of a sudden. And yeah, then that's, oh, they treated you okay, are you all right? Oh, he's got a cramp from being shoved in the closet, but other than that, it's like, you didn't lay a hand on us. A few more women and some small children come out of this hidey
hole. Come out of the closet. Congratulations.
And Thomas is still really weird.
Out of the bulkhead.
Okay, what's going on? Thomas is like, we saw my apartment. Yeah, it doesn't answer a single question. Actually, it makes a lot more questions. But then, yes, I got everyone I could out of harm's way. It's like, aw, we knew you were a good guy, Thomas.
Right. So it is kind of done well in the setting those seeds of doubt and yet plausibly clearing them up at the same time. So yes, he has discovered, he doesn't know who yet entirely, but ubiquitous they is after people. So he's figured out enough to also figure out who they're after. And it's become this race against the clock. Can I save them before he kills them kind of a thing? Which, okay, cool. But if you have enough of the pieces, but if he's sort of got enough to know the who's and stuff like that, you'd feel like he would have maybe a piece or two more about the whys and the who's. No, Thomas. So
Thomas knows everything.
No, because he's like, I don't know who's behind it. Because he can't stop it. But he's like, I figured out enough to know who they're going to be targeting next and trying to that race against.
Thomas knows everything.
Then he would just shut it down. He's like, you saw my guest room wall. They were being hunted. I had to figure out who was after them. Why? I got it at least well enough to be able to figure out who they were planning to kill. It became a race between us. I got everyone I could out of harm's way and brought them here. And then there does another. So see, it again implies that he still doesn't know exactly. He might have a much better idea, but he doesn't know exactly who is. Because obviously, if he can go about saving them, if Laura wanted this all, or whoever wanted this all to happen.
It might be spoilers then, I guess, but Thomas knows everything.
Yeah.
And he's been made to promise that he won't involve himself. So he is involving himself from a different angle. He's like, this is not, I'm not stopping anyone. I'm allowed to collect my own girls.
I can kidnap my own people.
Exactly. That's basically Thomas's angle here. He's like, okay, fine. I can't stop you guys, but I can pick up any girl I want.
I can just kidnap them all first.
Right.
And
so that's why Thomas is trying to get ahead of it. And whatever,
I guess it's just his phrasing here makes it sound
I understand
like,
that, but right. Knowing what I know now is like, yeah, because Thomas isn't allowed to tell Harry. Laura made, somebody made.
Somebody made,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little bit spoilers, but not by much. We figure it out quite soon. Probably wherever you stop, it's the next chapter. Like, it's very soon that.
It's right after the flashback.
Like, whenever Harry and Thomas have a chance to talk to each other.
I'm quite certain that Thomas hasn't named names yet either. He just says he can't. He hasn't specific. So, yeah, it's.
Okay.
Easy.
As soon as they get
easy
off the boat.
To infer. It's Laura, but he hasn't actually named her by name yet.
Whatever.
You just, again, are familiar with the story, whatever. Know the rest of it, and yes. Yeah, you know who it's going to be, but regardless. But yes, it's just sort of like, obviously I know Thomas knows a little bit more because he's this much ahead of the game to Harry already, but yes, it just seems like
one of those small, weird distinctions
between like, yeah, I can't stop you from kidnapping anybody, but I can kidnap everybody else first. I'm like, it's Just kill the kidnappers, just get them done, and then you wouldn't have to go running around trying to... But whatever.
Not enough people on this boat. Let's add a couple more.
Enter the ghouls.
Enter the ghouls.
So we have seen ghouls in the short story with the Tate family.
Ghoul and goblin.
Yeah, ghoul and goblin.
Whatever.
And then all book long, Harry's been referencing some problems with ghouls.
Yes, Camp Kaboom.
Yeah.
And something about a training camp.
And now they're back.
And we had the ghoul assassin in Summer Night.
Fucking boats. Smelly boat, smelly boat.
Why? Has lots so of smelly. Ghouls.
Bony McBoatface.
Bony McBoatface. So, yes, he suddenly realizes. I don't know, did anybody else pick up on that when the fact that he mentioned a boat when they got there? Aha! I think this boat is going to come back. A little foreshadowing. A little foreboding. Yeah. Is he knew something was going to happen because fucking boat.
Fucking boat.
Fucking boat.
This concludes our episode 18.10, Foreboding Boating. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.